Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's time for a noon kick.
And as they say in Tinseltown, roll it.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
They had pride. They had talent. They had hats and t-shirts.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday.
Tap by Coors Light. Duck fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:01 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on a Football Friday here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Anteater Johnson in with you. As we get you ready for the weekend, we are 3 hours away from the weekend beginning, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo!
The clock has begun.
It is
the countdown
ticking.
Is on.
It is ticking.
I've actually had a really good day.
Okay, we're feeling good on a Friday.
It was one of those, woke up and instantly just had the energy, got out of bed.
Good vibes.
I did a little C4 before my workout.
Ooh, a little C4.
If you've ever done C4, do you do pre-workout stuff?
No.
I don't do it often. I like to space it because I actually knew a kid that did it too much in high school and died.
Like some no explode?
It's basically right. The same thing. You take it, it's like a ton of caffeine, get you wired and amped. Did it, went and did a great workout. I was dead afterwards. I'm like, all right, let's get a good show going today. And I'm having fun, and I have run into this problem too much in my life. Fifth grade, eighth grade, 11th grade, sophomore year of college.
Puberty.
And today. No, I finally hit puberty, and it happened, and it was done.
Okay, you made it.
Those six times that I just mentioned, I can remember specific times where I've had a really good day. I've joked. I've laughed. I've been in a pretty good mood.
You know that you're in a good mood. You're feeling okay.
I know I'm in a great mood. Good vibes. And because I don't talk and I'm just looking at somebody, I've had somebody tell me, oh, why are you so mad today? Because I have a-hole face.
You do. You have resting B face.
I have really resting B face. Yeah. I don't know what to do about that. There's nothing I can change, I don't think. I would assume that laughing and joking for about 20 minutes would be enough. But I had three coworkers about 20 minutes ago just get on me because they think I'm being too judgy.
Yeah, why are you in such a bad mood on a
Friday?
Why
are you in a bad mood? And the older I get, the more I'm realizing when you tell me I'm in a bad mood when I'm not, it makes me mad.
Puts you in a bad mood.
I was just like, I wanted to just scream, shut up.
I'm not in a bad mood.
We just joked about penises 5 minutes ago.
Right. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Jokes.
Come on.
It's not the weekend yet.
I'm sorry.
We have 2 hours and 56 minutes left, all right?
I'm still in high school football mode, okay?
Pace yourself,
well, they're
okay?
Learning about some of this.
Let's not get blue right off the show.
Do you
learn
have any of this?
Learn about the birds and the bees. Does this happen to you in your life?
No, I don't, because I think it's pretty easy to tell what kind of mood I'm in. Because the most days I come in, I'm in a pretty jolly mood, and it sticks out like a sore thumb when I'm not. And I don't ever get accused of being in a bad mood when I'm in a good mood.
But mine is just my face. It's not like I'm saying or doing anything or acting a certain
way. No, I will get this occasionally.
You get it?
I don't know that it's go away face, but like I'll just be thinking about all sorts of stuff.
Right.
Like my mind is somewhere else.
Right, it's not you. It's me. I got something going on here.
Yeah. Yes. And so people will think I'm ignoring them or looking down upon them or...
Isn't that a weird thing, though?
Yeah.
To assume that somebody feels a certain way about you without knowing for certain. Like, we did the Mario Cristobal interview the other day, and I came in, and I had forgotten to write what I was thinking about talking with him about. So I came into work a little earlier than usual, and I sat down, I opened my laptop, and I just started remembering everything I could from the day before.
Notes and stuff.
Yeah, just mental notes. Hey, maybe touch on that. Ask him this. And I had one of our promotions gals, Morgan, walk up because she likes to say hi to us. And I just turned to her and I kid you not, this was what I said. Hey, I just need like 5 minutes. I got to write some stuff. I'm really busy right now. And she then got mad at me because she thought I was being mean to her. And
right.
I think it's because of my face.
That's got to be about 98% of it.
But was my tone? Did my tone sound bad there?
No, that should be an understandable thing.
Right?
Like, all right, yeah, I get it. You're busy right now. You got something going on. I'll come back in 5 to 10 minutes. I don't need to bother you right now.
Right, right.
We're always here a couple hours before the show. There's plenty of time to come over and distract us and sit down and have conversations. We usually get done prepping with about 40 minutes to an hour to go. We're ready to rock and roll. So we have plenty of time to talk. It's all in your face. That's all it is. You have. I learned this about you, though, quickly. I picked up on this because you do have resting bee face. And occasionally you'll come in early in our relationship. I would come in and right when the fires were getting hot between us. And you would have some days where maybe you'd be slightly more quiet than others. Or it would be a body language or a facial expression thing. And I would think to myself, is he pissed about something?
Yeah.
Something going on here?
Wait, does he not like my outfit?
Wait, is it my haircut? What happened?
You did bring up a haircut once.
I got a haircut and you didn't notice it.
Yeah,
we see each other every day. Pay attention. And no, I just learned to leave you alone in those instances. And then after time, I realized that he's not pissed. He's just either quiet or that's just his facial expression.
Yeah, because I met a listener at the fantasy draft, and I didn't bring this up, but I met a listener, and he was super nice, and I thanked him for coming out, and he goes, I actually was out last year, and I was going to say something, but you looked like you were really upset, and I was like, oh, no, that's just my face.
Right. And I have that when I walk around in public. I can scowl sometimes. It's just like my natural face when I'm in walking around mode. Like my eyebrow, like I have the, remember Leo when they paint the eyebrows on him?
Yeah.
They're like, why are you so angry?
That's my Costco mode.
Exactly.
I know exactly what I'm getting.
You don't want to lose it, you know?
Well, plus, there's people in there that just have no clue, and they're wandering around, and they're in the middle of the damn aisle, and they're waiting for the pot sticker samples to come out, and it's like, get out of the middle of the main aisle.
Right.
And same thing in the parking lot, whatever. I have the glare of do not mess with me right now. Or it could be falling down Michael Douglas time.
See, Sukanik suffers from this as well, where we had an intern, and it was intern Steve.
Remember
Steve?
I do, yeah.
He once asked me, he said, hey, I said hi to Sukanik, and he barely said hi back, and he looked like he wanted to murder me. I go, oh, that's just his face.
That's just Suk, yeah.
Like, the first time I walked past him in the hallway, I noticed it, but I didn't assume he hated me.
Right.
It's out of your control. There's only so much you can do. 99% of the time, and I really mean this, I'm in a pretty good mood, right? Like, I can look like I'm mad, but if you come up to me and say a joke.
Hey, what's up, Brandon? How's your day going? Hey, good, man. I'm doing good. How about you?
I will turn around and, unless we've dealt with stuff behind the scenes, unless we are genuinely angry, but that doesn't happen often.
I enjoy. Somebody said a couple of thoughts at the Better You Today text line. Somebody did say they saw you at Blazer opening night, and it seemed like you gave them a dirty look. So
really?
you have that face. You have that look in public.
Yeah, no,
you made eye contact, gave him a dirty look, not even realizing what you're doing.
Maybe did not mean that.
You need to paint a smile on your face. Go Joker style here.
But see, I know I'm also going to be, when I get older, because I already have, what do they call it by your eyes, crow's feet?
Sure, yeah.
I get a little of that if I smile too hard. If I keep smiling, I'm going to be a wrinkly old guy. I know this about me.
So you're actively trying to not be wrinkly.
No, I'm not thinking like don't smile. I'm just saying like if I smile all the time, it's going to permanently get stuck there.
Nah, there's product for that.
Yeah, it's called Botox. You'll fix it.
Get a little Botox when I'm old. No, I didn't look at you and hate you. I just looked at you and thought, oh, that person's wearing a jersey.
He said he was wearing a Dodger hat.
Realizing where your media seat was that night.
I might have thought I was in section 407 right as you looked at me, and it was like, oh, crap, dude. Where's that elevator go?
I got to climb these stairs to get up there.
Level 7.
Somebody said, because Swag is so intimidating, I couldn't take him seriously when he's upset.
Wow. I've seen Swigard upset.
I don't think I've ever seen Swigard, like, angry.
Well, not angry at us, more like this is absolute horse bleep. I have to do this.
Yeah.
In that way. When's the last time you shouted with your wife?
I don't.
You never had a moment though?
I don't think I've ever yelled at the fiance.
I guess shouting's the wrong word. Argument? I don't shout at my wife either.
I've lost it internally and said, hey, I'm losing it, so.
Well, you're going me, myself, and Irene. You're bottling it up, and one day you're going to dunk some little girl's head in a fountain.
So
Jason, a little extra cheese on the taco.
She got warned, and I got to work through this before we can have a rational conversation about it, because I'm steamed.
That
so.
Reminds me, I just watched, there's this Facebook show that Jada Pinkett Smith does, and she had Will Smith on, and I thought that was an interesting watch, and he had a moment where she said, shut the bleep up at a party, and he pulled her into a room, and he said they made a point of it not to yell at each other in the relationship, and he goes, I grew up in a domestic violence home. I watched my dad beat my mom in the face. if you say that to me, I will instinctually want to punch you in the freaking face. So he basically pulled a Swigard. Stop.
Just cut it out.
I'm at a point. If you keep going, I'm going to cross that threshold. Yeah. It's an interesting way of handling things. I'm more of just like, tell you how I feel, and we'll go our separate ways until we're good.
Yeah, I get the, because sometimes when I get home, I'm a zone out kind of guy. Like if I'm watching sports or something's going on, because like, we do have, like, we don't work a lot of hours, but it's an engaging job. So
it's
sometimes
a mentally taxing thing, right, to do a show, giving every energy, that all the energy you have into a radio show, and you get out and you're like, just want
to
go home.
You just turn. It's nice to turn the light off for like an hour.
Right.
Like just sit there and just zone out and not think about anything. And that's the times when I'll get the, what's wrong? Is something upset? Are you mad about something? And it's always like, no, I'm cool. I just need like an hour. Just give me an hour to recharge the battery.
You need time.
Let's just sit here in silence.
Has she picked that up?
What? Yeah, now she's figured it out. Yeah. But at first, when she first moved in, it was like, what's wrong? Like, what did I do? Are you mad about something?
Do I go for a walk? Are you okay?
It's like, no, actually, I don't want to go for a walk. I just want to sit here and veg out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, you know, I don't even think this is exclusive to our job. I think a lot of people get that, don't they?
You just get done with work. It's a long day or something happened. You're like, you just want to go home and watch some mindless television, or if there's a sporting event on when you get home, you flip it on, Seinfeld, whatever it might be. That veg out hour is very important to me.
Well, one of my favorite, and we didn't talk about this on the air, and I'm not going to out too much. Dirt walked in last week on like a Thursday, and we do these parlay plays with like a group of six or seven of us, and we're gathering, we're talking, we're shooting the S. Dirt walks in, and we all look at him, and you can tell that he's angry. Because as you mentioned, you're kind of your emotions show him on your sleeve.
Yeah.
And we were like, I was like, are you all right? And you turn and you go, I had an imaginary conversation, or I just thought of something that somebody said to me 3 days ago, and it really ticked me off. And I was like, wow, that's an interesting thing to happen.
You ever have those where like somebody says something to you and then you're like, it just pops back in your head?
Yes.
But you didn't really notice it a lot at the moment.
Right.
Because you just weren't engaged or you weren't paying attention. And then it like the light bulb goes off.
You're absolutely.
Like, wait a minute. That really should have pissed me off in the moment.
And it didn't. But
and
now it is.
It took 72 hours and now it's here and I'm angry.
I'll get those sometimes on a Sunday. All right. We got a good Football Friday edition today on the show. We're going to get to, would you give up 4 first round draft picks for Jimmy Butler?
Yes.
We're going to sprague the line extremely hard today. We're going to alienate so hard when we sprague the line. We'll do that at 2:30 with Kevin Todd. We got our Pac-12 pick'ems to get to as well, and a busy weekend in college and NFL football. But we're going to start with the Oregon Ducks. Should they be on upset alert in Arizona? You think Oregon can lose this weekend? 55305 is the Better You Today text line. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague with you on 1080 The Fan. One big step. All right, 1219 on The Fan. We'll settle a debate very quickly, and then we'll get into Oregon and Arizona. A listener says they've been having an argument for 8 years with their wife about spooning. She calls spooning hugging. He's been calling it cuddling.
What?
If you had to sum up spooning, which one would you say?
Who calls spooning hugging?
Evidently
her.
No,
that's not hugging. That's a cuddle.
That's cuddling.
100% cuddle.
That's not even a debate.
No, hugging is hugging. Cuddling is cuddling.
Very quickly, and then I really do want to get into this game because it's interesting to me. What some people are saying about it. Are you willing to admit you are okay being the little spoon?
No, because I'm not okay being the little spoon.
Swigard?
Yeah, it goes back and forth, especially in bed, because if you roll over back and forth or whatever.
I can't do the big spoon for a night. I'll have to turn over, and then sometimes she'll do the big spoon thing.
Yeah.
And now with the dog, there's not as much spooning going on.
You got to get the dog off your bed. What are you doing?
He lays in between. It's past that point.
But
that ship sailed a long time ago.
You're going to have the dog.
A long time ago.
And you may or may not have kids. And before you know it, you're not even going to sleep in the same bed.
Yeah, no. So when we do get chances to cuddle and the dog is either on the couch or on the dog bed or something out of the way, I always go big spoon.
Mm.
It's a sense of
my arm goes numb.
Empowerment. Yeah, it's
you know the arm I'm on.
Have you seen the mattresses that they've created that have like there's ones that they made that have like a slit in the mattress that you can put your arm like underneath the bed?
Oh, that's
have you
cool.
seen those?
No.
Yeah, so you can like just slide it in between the mattress and it just dangles down there so you don't have that problem.
There you go. No dead arm.
Boom.
All right. Oregon heading to the desert. They are 9.5-point favorites. I tend to be fairly confident when I was thinking about this game on Monday of just the bounce back factor. Now, I know I also said that they would beat Washington State last weekend. Mm-hmm. I gave the Cougars all the credit Monday, Tuesday, and even a little Wednesday. But now that it's Friday and they're getting ready for Arizona, I've been a little surprised. And what I mean by that is Chris Falica, who's also known as The Bear, he does a podcast. It's a degenerate podcast with Stanford Steve. They give their picks every week. He's at, it's called Behind the Bets. He is a 65% picking percentage this year, which is pretty damn good. And I was curious, because I am every week, where he's going, what he likes. Listen to his lock of the week.
The last one, I think, is the one that I like the most. I like
the best for last.
I like Arizona as a 9.5-point home underdog against Oregon. Back-to-back conference road games for the Ducks. Our numbers, we have Oregon is about a 5-point favorite in this game. This number's around 9.5 or 10, so we see some value in Arizona. And I was impressed with the way Arizona came, hung around in that game at UCLA last week. We'll see if Tate comes back. But I think the way Oregon has played lately in road games, 3-10 in their last 13 Pac-12 road games, 3-9-1 against the number in that span. We'll see if they can bounce back and win in Tucson, and not only win, but cover win by double digits. I think that'll be tough.
Yeah, so he's not picking Arizona to win the game.
No, but he likes it plus the 9.5.
Yeah, he likes it to be a really not a two-score game. And I can't really ever blame anybody when they want to take a big spread like that. But I guess I'm just surprised because I do think the talent difference between these two. I get it's the Zoo. I know the classic games they've had down there.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, some years, that goes out the window to me. And I might be way wrong on Monday when we talk about this. I don't feel like these two teams are that close.
No, they aren't. Giving them credit for hanging around with UCLA, you were impressed by that? UCLA's not a great football team. And sometimes I think when you look at trends and numbers of what have happened as of late, it can be misleading. I mean, you mentioned Oregon's last, whatever it was, 10 or 11 road games, and they're 3-9 or whatever. Braxton Burmeister started 3 of their 5 road games last year. Is that a clear indication of where this team is against the spread, against conference opponents? No. The year before that, you had arguably the worst season in Oregon football in the last 25 years. This team is drastically different from that, and Justin Herbert is healthy. So I think whenever you go to Arizona, there's always a fear there for Oregon fan because crazy things have happened in the past, and you've seen guys get hurt, and it has been a house of nightmares a little bit for you. But you've also had to flip the coin some crazy wins. I mean, think about 2009 when the fan base was on the sidelines ready to rush the field and Oregon scored. It went to double overtime and you ended up winning on your way to a conference championship and a Rose Bowl appearance. So you've had some major wins down there. And I look at one group in this ball game that it's hard for me to see Arizona hanging around, and that's Arizona's defense.
It's not good.
They are, when you just look at the numbers, they're ranked 11th in the conference in rush defense. They're ranked 9th in the conference in pass defense, and they're ranked 11th in total defense. The only reason they're not dead last in some of those categories is because Oregon State is a special kind of bat on that side of the ball. If you didn't have Oregon State's defense in this conference, they are the worst. And because of that, it's hard for me to see Arizona hanging around in this football game.
Percentage chances you'd give of Oregon losing?
I mean, it better be low. If you lose this football game, there's a whole nother conversation and topics that come out of that.
And that's kind of what I wonder too, right?
Like, if you lose to Arizona, you're in a world of hurt.
Well, you and I seem to be in lockstep in terms of how we view this game, that Oregon could run away with it. Again, I do understand it's a road game. Fine. Arizona's not a good football team.
No, what would scare me is if Khalil Tate could run around. But
he can't run. He's got a bum ankle.
And I know Sumlin knows who's playing, but he hasn't announced it yet.
Right.
And if Tate ends up playing, we've seen him be ineffective completely the entire season in running the football.
When he was better running last year, when he came onto the scene and everybody's like, oh my God, yeah. Khalil Tate for Heisman. Who was the first team to really shut him down?
Oregon.
It was Oregon.
And then Oregon, yeah.
Right? He went to Eugene. He went to Eugene and everybody thought, oh my God, Khalil Tate's going to torch the Ducks defense. He's going to rush for 200 yards and Arizona might win. Ducks defense bottled him up. I don't think he rushed for over 50 yards.
Right.
So, you know, Khalil Tate coming off of an ankle injury. I thought we saw it the last game that he played, he already was kind of dinged up and people were wondering, should he play? The first hit he took, he was done. His body couldn't handle it. And I'm not saying they're going to purposely injure him, but him going in there it would not scare me if I had a rooting interest from a fan perspective, because I think you get one shot on him and he's probably out and Rhett Rodriguez is back in there.
Sure.
And maybe Rhett Rodriguez is better right now with the offense.
He's a better passer, I'll give him that, but he's not a world beater by any stretch.
I throw, and I know the Pac-12 is not great. I throw the Zona Zoo out. I don't want to hear about, what was that, 09, that crazy game. I don't want to hear about it. The year that they stomped Oregon when they came there and it was like a mid-afternoon game. That doesn't matter to me. 7 o'clock, 4:30, 7:30, doesn't matter when you kick either. I just think talent-wise, you line these two teams up, and Vegas has the number dead on. They should be able to win this game by two scores.
I think Arizona and Cal are pretty equal football teams.
I wouldn't even argue that.
And the game that they played showed that. Arizona beat them 24-17 because Cal's quarterback McElwain kept throwing pick sixes. They had two defensive touchdowns, and that's why they won. But it was an evenly matched game when you go look at the line. And Oregon early in the third quarter against Cal on the road was up 35-10, and they ended up winning that game by, what, 18 points? They covered that spread on the road. So that's where I don't buy into the fears. I think in college football, you're going to get letdown weeks. You're going to get letdown performances. You're going to catch a team that has the stars aligned a little bit. Look at Ohio State, Purdue.
Right.
Purdue's a good football team, not a great football team. They kicked Ohio State's ass this weekend.
But Purdue is, I mean, that's
better than Arizona, right. But Ohio State's better than Oregon.
Right.
But you were going on the road. It's a night game. That place was absolutely packed. You had the cancer patient story. Like, all the stars kind of aligned for Purdue to get one of those wins, similar to kind of the way things set up for Washington State last week. Game day there. That was their Super Bowl. You had 20,000 people there at 4 in the morning. Crazy atmosphere. It was a huge game for Washington State, and you had a little bit of a letdown factor in the first half for Oregon. I don't have that fear this weekend. This Zona Zoo stuff, go look at their attendance this year.
It's not good.
I've seen a number of Arizona games this year, especially late games, and that place has been half empty. So let's not act like it's going to be this brutally tough place to play and that Arizona is a great football team. They're not. Outside of the Oregon State game where they handled Oregon State 35-14, even that game should have been worse than that. They had no business only winning that one by only 21. This is not a great football team. And I think Oregon, there should be an anger in their mouth. There should be a bounce back factor for them of being pissed about the way that they played last weekend. And I expect them to come out and physically dominate this football game at the line of scrimmage and run it down their throat against the second worst rush defense in the conference.
I think because they weren't able to do it against the Cougars. That's the part that I like the most. I think, okay, Washington State did something. Oregon's going to respond on the ground. They're not rushing for 58 yards again.
No.
Arizona's
given up 200 a game on the ground. Again, the only group worse is Oregon State's given up 250 a week on the ground.
We know that for sure. All right. How do you feel about this game this week? And are you thinking trap game yet again? I don't even trap game's the right word or description. Do you think Oregon can lose this 1-5-5-3-0-5? We'll read some thoughts on that. And then we'll get to the other big Pac-12 game. Washington State playing Stanford on the farm. A lot of people liking Stanford. Is that a mistake? We'll talk about that next. 12:34 on the Fan. You know, I think because of how inconsistent the conference seems to be, the perception that everybody hears if they listen to ESPN or a national radio show or whatever, I think because of the ranking of where the Pac-12 comes in for most pundits, you get, and we watch these games, right? Like you, I, all the listeners, et cetera. We watch the Pac-12. We know it's not the greatest conference, no doubt. But I think because of all that, it adds up. And that's why you get people like, I'll read this one. Give me just a second here. Let me scroll. Let's see. Yes, I do believe Oregon can lose to Arizona. Wouldn't put it past them at all. That's kind of what this conference has been. Somebody else says, Oregon doesn't play well in Arizona. Oregon will win, but not cover. Somebody else, Deal, pointing out that because I'm so adamant the Ducks will cover, makes him want to pick Arizona so much.
Give me the plus 9.5, baby.
You might as well jump on that train. You're getting, and there's some other texts here as well. Oregon-Arizona could actually be a really good football game where Oregon potentially loses.
I think the way I view the conference, and somebody's going to have to help me on this because I'm not going to answer it off the top of my head. I view the conference as there being a handful of teams jumbled together at the top with one not necessarily better than the others. I will put Oregon, Washington, Washington State, Stanford, Utah, USC when healthy, maybe Colorado.
I think you stop. Okay. I think you stop at before USC.
So you jumbled those teams together.
Right now, and that's what I'd view, yeah.
That's where if you want to play the any given Saturday, the Pac-12 is so tightly contested, I could see any of them going down. When they're playing each other, I completely agree with it. But have we seen a team, and this is what I need help with, have we seen a team from outside of that category beat a team in that category? Washington State's conference loss was to USC in it. Oregon's was to Washington State. Stanford's was to Utah. Washington's was to Oregon.
If you don't put USC in there, then USC Washington State. But if you do, but then what, okay.
Yeah, and the conference games that USC has lost are Stanford and Utah. Both on the road, by the way.
The only game that I can think of within the conference that may have surprised people would have been UCLA over Cal, but it's not so much that UCLA won. It would be more about UCLA blowing them the hell out on the road.
Yeah.
Right? Like, of all the surprises
but
in the conference.
Cal's not a great football team,
no,
though.
And that's why I'm saying the win itself didn't shock people. It was, they won 37-7?
Yeah, and that's where I think, I look at the Pac-12, and it's fun this year because it is, like, we'll get to Washington State and Stanford in a moment. I think all those teams, and Utah's in it, Washington's in it, USC's in that conversation when healthy, Oregon, all those teams are kind of jumbled together, but I do think there is a gap once you get past those top five or six teams,
right,
and then you start talking about Arizona or Cal or UCLA or Oregon State, like those to me are different conversations. And I think if you want to play the any given Saturday, Arizona could beat UCLA or UCLA could beat Cal or Cal could beat Oregon State.
You want to play the bottom, well, don't put the Beavs in there.
There's
but
two
the
different
tier,
divisions
right,
almost yes, is how I view it. And that's where, if this was a game that Oregon was coming off the Washington win and then they went on the road to Arizona and you wanted to try and sell me the letdown factor, which we clearly saw play an impact last week in the first half against Washington State, I would listen to your argument. It's hard for me to see Oregon not come to this game ready to play and not show up with a sense of urgency.
The only
like we've seen him in
right,
the past.
Let me just kind of flip it though from a listener standpoint though. Weren't you and I kind of saying that last week? Not so much that, oh, we'll be shocked if Washington State wins. Like, we both picked Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
But we were kind of saying that, though, weren't we, of Oregon's not going to come in not ready. We expected a damn good football game.
We did.
And that's the worst start Oregon's had in quite some time, sure, to a game. So I think we did say that last week, and that leads other people out there to go, well, they said this last week, and Washington State was up 27-0 at the half.
Sure, maybe you want to extrapolate it out for another week, but Washington State and Arizona are completely different
right,
football teams.
And I think that's the merit in which you're arguing is – it is two divisions, right? Like, it's not the North and the South. It's the haves it's, and the absolutely have yeah, not.
It's the top six and the bottom six is kind of the way that I view it.
Like, one listener says Utah almost beat Washington State.
But Utah's but a good football team.
That would have been an okay loss, though.
Right. Utah kicked the crap out of Stanford on the road. They just killed USC last
and
weekend.
And see, somebody else, you know, you guys kept saying Oregon is back. I never said Oregon is back. I never said that one time last week or the week after they beat Washington. I said, in this conference, they had the ability to run the table. That doesn't mean that they're back. It just means I don't think the conference is particularly extraordinary, nor did I want to eliminate a one-loss team, whether it was Wazoo or Oregon, from the playoff conversation because I myself love the Pac-12 and I always want to see the Pac-12 do well.
Right.
I've never once said Oregon is back. That is no way true if you've ever listened to this show. I just think Oregon is in this group you're talking about. Washington, Oregon, Washington State, if you want to put Stanford, they're great, and Utah.
And we'll find out about Stanford this weekend, too, because this is a big one for them.
But I think those are your four big ones right now today. Now, USC, to me, is an in-and-out one where they win. Okay, they're back in it. Well, then they have a bad loss or they lose, and it's like, well, no, you can't take them seriously on the road. That can change. But this is a different one, and I think it's kind of with what you're talking about here. Arizona's in the bad category.
Yeah. This would be a monumental up to
what's their biggest win this year? Arizona.
UCLA? No, they lost to UCLA.
They just lost, yeah.
Cal and Oregon State are their two conference wins.
Cal's lost three of their last four games.
Yeah.
And Cal, I believe this week, they're taking on Washington.
Yeah.
To me, they're going to lose four of their last five. That's not like a good win.
They lost 42-10 to Utah, and then they did come back against USC, but that game was 24-0. I think 24-0, and right. They scored like 20 unanswered points in the fourth quarter to almost cover the spread.
I have no problem opening the show Monday if Arizona keeps this close and Oregon wins on a field goal and saying, yeah, I never thought that was going
to
happen.
You bet ass will do. I think there's larger conversations to be had if that happens. The sentiment that I echoed last week, I caution people from the Oregon is back thing because of the fact that you could go on the road and lose to Washington State. So for anybody that said Oregon was back next week, it's like, well, what happens if they lose this weekend? Are they still back? Are they not back? The only thing that I said, and I still feel good about despite the outcome of last week's game, is they're on their way back. You like the direction of the program.
Sure.
You feel good about the coaching staff for the most part. You feel good about Mario Cristobal as a head coach. The recruiting speaks for itself. You feel good about the general direction that they're heading, and the Washington win gave you a little more confidence in that. But this whole being back, and that goes away in a week, and it'll go away in a week for Washington State. If Washington State fans want to have that conversation right now, if we're back and we're the front runner, then you go to lose to Stanford. You're on the direction. You feel good about the path, but everything can change. When you're playing one of the better teams in this conference, it can change on a dime any given weekend.
The Cal game, I thought, is about as close to a comparison as you're going to get. Arizona beat Cal. They're kind of similar in terms of where they're at right now. They're banged up. We don't know who their quarterback's going to be going into that Cal game. And I'll tell you now, when they went into that Cal game, I was telling you, yeah, be a little nervous. Right? Like, I bet on Oregon to win that game by the spread, but they ended up blowing them out. It wasn't close. And I just think even if it's close early, that is not going to be indicative of what the final outcome ends up being. So we'll see.
I want to see Oregon win with some style points this weekend. I really do. I think this is a big bounce back week for them. You know, some Duck fans, for whatever reason, were doom and gloom last Saturday because you lost to Washington State and they were down on the team, which is hilarious considering where they were 7 days prior to that. But the perspective that I had on Twitter, and I sent out the tweet late in the night, just basically saying, like, keep this in mind. If you win out, you have a chance to go 10-2. If Oregon struggles this weekend, I think your confidence in that happening goes away a little bit because that road game at Utah is going to be a very tough football game to win in a couple of weekends. But if you come out and you dominate this game the way that you're supposed to because you are the superior team and you have the better quarterback and I think you have the coaching advantage over what Arizona has shown this week, then I think your confidence goes back to maybe where it was.
All right, we didn't get to Washington State Stanford. We'll do that next. Can the Cougars continue their winning ways, or is Stanford just waiting to get a little bit of an upset? We'll talk about that game next. Cougars Stanford on the Fan. All right, Washington State heads down to the farm to take on Stanford. By the way, coming up to start hour two, would you trade four first-round draft picks for Jimmy Butler? And Damian Lillard gets some revenge against a loud fan last night in Orlando. And then we'll Sprague the line, Pac-12 pick'ems. Got a lot to get to. Washington State, Stanford. You and I are on different sides on this one, my man. You kind of like the hangover effect of what game day can bring and the emotions of getting a win like that. And now they travel on the road. We did see them do this last year when they were undefeated and they went to Cal and laid an egg. Mm-hmm. I, however, actually like their chances of winning this game. We don't know if Bryce Love's going to play. Some people are indicating he won't. And Stanford's kind of been a meh team, really, since their Oregon win. And I just think what they're doing with Gardner Minshew offensively, it's tough for that defense, which Stanford's defense is not. It's not the usual Stanford defense we're accustomed to. I think you can move the ball on them. And I absolutely think they're better than ASU. But we're on differing sides on this Washington State-Stanford game.
We are. And if Cougar fan is mad at me, take some solace in that because I picked against your team last weekend and they won. First and foremost, I think we do need to point out this game's on the Pac-12 network.
I don't want to talk about some of the big games they've had beyond the network get exposure.
Why is this game not on ESPN? The 3:30 Washington Cal game is on FS1, but this game's on the Pac-12 network. Okay, I'll move on from there. If you ask me who the better football team is, no doubt in my mind, Washington State. If you ask me who should win this weekend, no doubt in my mind, Washington State. They are better, and when you look at some of the numbers and metrics around it, Stanford has the 11th-ranked pass defense in the conference. That's not good, especially when you're going against a team like Washington State. We just saw them expose and pick apart the Oregon secondary, especially in the first half and then late in the fourth quarter when they needed to. The only fear that I have in this game, really the only reason why I'm kind of siding with Stanford, is the letdown factor. And as one Coug fan who texted in pointed out, he knows there's going to be a letdown factor. It just depends on what degree. Do you get a slow start and then recover, or do you get a Oregon 27-0 hole and something that's too big to dig out of? Stanford, I think, is getting a little bit better as the year goes on.
Bryce, that's kind of what they do,
though. This is that Stanford. I thought they had a nice quality win. I know Arizona State's not great, but they really controlled the vast majority of that football game at Arizona State on a Thursday night. They had a bye week 2 weeks ago, and then they have the couple extra days of rest because they did play on that Thursday. So there's a lot of things that are kind of benefiting for them, and the only fear that I have is that letdown being too much for Washington State because I've seen the movie before. I'm rooting for Washington State to win this football game. I think it would be an awesome story if they continue to win, considering what they've been through the last couple of years of just needing an Apple Cup win to win the North and knocking on the door, and they can't knock it down. The Helsinki stuff that they went through this offseason, and now to have this moment of the attention of the college football world being on you to now being essentially the front runner in this conference, it would be awesome to see them go win this game. I think. And maybe it's just recency bias because I saw Oregon lay such an egg that I'm worried Washington State's going to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I think it's hard to get up that same way. That was such an emotional high and such a big win for them. And you know, the party carried into the week and nobody went to sleep for probably 48 hours after that game. Now can you go do it again? And I do have my doubts.
So Bryce Love, who had 11 carries a week ago against ASU, he averaged 1.9 yards per carry. I mean, he's had a rough senior season.
He's been locked down basically against everybody outside of USC.
Well, I think that's a product of being banged up. And then also to start the year, he couldn't get it going. That offensive line is not as good as we thought it would be. Now, they rushed for 120 yards against ASU, but that was a real collective effort because you had Trevor Spates go for 19 carries, 34 yards, and then Cameron Scarlett, the local kid, 9 carries, 54 yards. I just wonder, will the narrative change at all?
It should if they win.
If Wazoo wins.
It should. Why wouldn't it?
People don't respect and like the Pac-12 is what I would instantly say to that question.
And I'll say this for Coug fan. If it's not back after, if you go down and win on the farm this weekend and that conversation's not back, I'll just give it time because it'll get there. Washington State, Stanford, and Washington all essentially control their own destiny because Washington State and Stanford play this weekend and then Stanford next week has to go to Seattle and play. So they're all in control. Whoever wins out and wins those games is going to go on and win the Pac-12 North. And if Washington State doesn't get it this week, they're still going to have a game against Colorado, which isn't a marquee opponent, but still would be a quality win in my mind. And then you're going to get Washington at the end of the year. It's hard for me to see another loss before that on Washington's schedule because they get Stanford at home in Seattle next week. And if you get that game, that'll be a couple of top 15 teams going at it. It'll be on national TV. You're going to get your respect if you continue to win. I think there's a doubt from people, of myself included. I'm guilty of this, of waiting to see if the slipper's going to fall off because of what we saw last year. I mean, everything was lined up for this team. Getting the win against USC, they got Oregon with a backup quarterback, and they dominated that football game in Eugene. Then they go on the road on a Friday night, and it wasn't like they just lost. They were embarrassed by Cal, who was not a good football team. And I think everybody's kind of waiting to see if this Cougar football team's different and they can avoid a game like that.
You know, I brought this up after they beat Oregon earlier this week, and I was interested in hearing your thoughts. I can't quantify it with anything. I really can't. I just think Gardner Minshew is better than Luke Falk. And that's not meant to say Luke Falk did not have an amazing career. Mm-hmm. When we look back on Jake Browning at Washington in 5 years, we're going to say, sure, we didn't like him all that much to be trusted on a national level, but he was a damn good quarterback, right? He's going to have all the records. I think Luke Falk is right there within some of the records with Wazoo. He wanted a high rate, no doubt. I just think Minshew's better. And I think that's where my... not confidence, but where my wanting to see or thinking Washington State will get a win, that's where it stems from. I just trust him a little more for whatever reason. It's not just the Oregon game either. And so I think they're going to be ready. I think the hangover effect for the guys that were on that team last year is real.
Yeah.
And they're well aware of it. And even with all the emotions of a game day, I'm not expecting them to blow Stanford out by any means. But I think they absolutely can go on the farm, and I do think they're going to get a win.
I'll use the cliche from Minshew. He feels like more of a gamer, if that makes sense.
He's got a little more
moxie to him than Luke Falk. He clearly is in control of that offense. The only concern that I have about him, and it almost cost them on Saturday night, is the turnovers. He threw the pick under pressure on the opening drive. He threw the pick to Lenore in the third quarter that helped stem that comeback a little bit more. And then he essentially threw a third pick to Javon Holland, but his receiver saved him and ripped it away from the Oregon safety. And if the receiver doesn't make that play, we're looking back at that moment. It was 27-20. Mm-hmm. He was under pressure. He just lobbed the ball up into triple coverage. And Holland came down with it initially, but again, he couldn't control it. And Washington State got the ball. They convert the fourth down, and the rest is history. His receiver saved him in that moment. That should have been an interception. And that's the only fear that I have is, when you're throwing it so much, and if Stanford can get some pressure, you fear that maybe he's going to make some mistakes. He's going to have to play a clean football game against them.
By the way, Washington State is first in sacks in the conference. That's mm-hmm. something to keep in mind.
If they got all after Herbert on Saturday.
Well, if Stanford can't run the ball and you got KJ Costello back there, he's kind of a statue.
He is.
That's something Washington State could take advantage of. And on that note about sacks, I think that's something else I've noticed. I don't know what the exact numbers are of sacks given up for Wazoo this year versus where they were at this point last year. But it did feel like Luke Falk really didn't move the pocket and would more take bad sacks. And
I'll give you that.
I can't recall a time so far through this season where I've been like, God, Gardner Minshew, throw the ball away, bud.
Right, right. What are you doing?
He feels like he just knows where he's going because he knows that playbook so well. You know, we see the plays. It's like eight of them on a little notepad.
Tiny little sheet.
And because of the system they run, it's kind of perfect for who he is as a college football player. So,
well, he's also got a kick-ass mustache. It's helping him. He's got the power of the stash.
What's cooler, his mustache or the Karate Kid headband?
With the
way his hair kind of comes over like the Karate Kid.
They're both very cool. He's got a lot of cool factor going on. I'm gonna give the edge to the mustache, though.
Gotcha.
Because anybody can wear a headband. Not everybody can grow a mustache like that.
It's true.
So I'm gonna give him the credit there. One thing I do think Stanford should take note of, and Oregon didn't do it in the first half, and then they started doing it in the second half, was getting their hands up in the passing lane. Like, it's how many
deflections did
in the second half? Lamar Winston had a handful of them. Like,
right.
In the first half, so much of their passing game, which, I mean, they just run those crossing routes until they kill you. It's essentially a West Coast offense. That's their running game. I know they ran the ball somewhat successfully against Oregon, but it's just a lot of those 4 or 5 yard completions, and they just eat you alive, and they keep you kind of honest as a defense. And Oregon finally in the second half started getting hands up, knowing those little short crossing routes and slants were coming. And I think that's something that Stanford maybe identified on film just to try and throw the timing off a little bit.
The most exciting game in the conference, Stanford and Washington State. All right, we got a loaded second hour, but we're going to start. Would you give up 4 first round draft picks for Jimmy Butler? Because one team is. We'll tell you who that is potentially next. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.